I'm sorry, Ryan. I believe I requested the hand job. Hey, it's the Dharma Lars podcast, also known as the Lars in the off season. I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph. There's more off season than season.
There is.
I told you this.
There's going to always be that, and especially considering the whole of human history before Lost came around.
Yeah, the whole of
there's human. Definitely more off than on. And with us again for a new treat is producer Ryan. Yay!
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good enough.
There's like these podcast awards coming up, and Ryan's going to be there, hopefully, alongside me and Jay and Ben. If you want to go, you
sure
should
sounds
go.
Good.
It's at the end of the month on a Friday, so I don't know if you could swing getting off of work to go hang out with podcasters and watch Jay win the Academy Award of Podcasting.
I'll see what I can do. I mean, this is you're kind of springing it on me.
But I've been listening to this Married Man podcast that Jack has been doing with his friend Dale.
Hey, with his friend Dale and with Little John and Will Scarlet.
Yes. And what?
Merryman. You know, the Robin Hood's.
Got it.
Thanks, Ryan. Welcome back.
So those of you in the Southern California area need to go to the podcast awards because there's going to be a boxing match between producer Jay and producer Ryan.
Oh, snap.
The background giggle bunnies.
Now, is it going to be like boxing, or is it going to be boxing with those giant oversized gloves, or just like bare knuckles gypsy style?
Inflatable sumo.
Ooh.
So it's actually not gonna be
boxing. It's just sumo. Cool. Tim Curry versus Bill Murray style.
What?
From Charlie's Angels. I put on those little sumo outfits.
Charlie's Angels 2, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. No, it's the first one. You're right.
Oh.
Yeah, Ryan's right. Ralph's wrong.
Good.
The second
I'm
one's
glad.
The Irish dude.
The guy who could walk through fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would recognize an ass anywhere. There's something about recognizing Drew Barrymore's ass. I'm going to have to start referencing movies you've seen or care about, apparently. Because I fell flat with my fucking Merry Men and my Charlie
Angels. I just didn't know what you were talking. I just wasn't paying attention, apparently.
Well, that's pretty standard. So, yeah, everyone go out to the podcasting awards, which is on a Friday. Last Friday of the month, which should be the 28th. September 28th?
September 28th.
Cool.
Could you do me a favor? Could you grab that book behind you and give it to Ryan? Because he cannot stand
sure.
The Mac being on the bed for some reason.
He's afraid that the overheat is going to set the couch on fire. So anyhow, this is our show, guys.
I still need that DVD.
Oh, my gosh.
Put that book under. It's the same size.
They're arguing. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, everyone.
Holy Christmas.
I'm sorry that they're arguing.
3 weeks? You've been gone for like 3 months.
That's a good burn.
So my pick of the week
hey,
is...
Hey, well, we're not even there yet. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
So what you been up to?
This is the fifth podcast this week for me.
Well done. That's a big week.
Yeah, and then...
And I see that mine's the one you bring your A game to.
And there's
professional style.
Seriously, I think of all the podcasts...
Fucking laying down, arguing about a laptop,
I think,
not listening to my shit.
I think this is my
A-est. My partner.
This is my A-est of all games this week.
This is the most A you've gamed it?
And I guess technically I did a sixth one. Because I shot a special podcast for the Geekscape guys.
Wow.
down at the American Gladiator tryouts.
I shot a special load for the Geekscape guys.
Dude, Zap was there.
Cool.
What? Oh, look who doesn't get the references. It's American Gladiators.
Oh.
It's a television show.
I thought you said Zach. I'm like, why was my brother at the fucking American Gladiators
tryout?
Zap. Was Ice there?
No, just Zap.
Just Zap.
Chatted with the creator for a while.
That's cool.
Assault's going to be back.
You should get like an interview or get like a phone interview. Tell him, hey, we talk about your show a lot.
I already did. I already got an interview. That's why I'm telling you.
Oh.
Assault's going to be back. And Joust is going to be above water.
You heard it here only, folks.
And then...
Joust is going to be above water.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's probably because they may get hurt on the foam rubber.
Yeah, they probably watched a lot of MXC and Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, but guess what's in the water?
Sharks.
Bullets.
Damn, that is tough.
So, anyway.
So, you went to the American Gladiator auditions.
Yeah, and, I did not. I decided not to try out, which was my whole plan. But my whole plan was to say I tried out for the American Gladiators, but I didn't.
You tried driving out there. If you just like mumble at certain parts, you can pull that off.
I was there. It was, I was sweating like mad.
Our friend, Engineer Jeff, who's been in here in this room before.
Once.
Once. Before we shit canned him, or before he decided he didn't want to do it anymore.
He had 1 week off that he could hang out with us.
He didn't want to listen to our show. Yeah. Our friend Jeff auditioned for the same American Gladiators and was running the 40 when he took a digger and fucked his shit up hard.
Yeah, his legs almost double over face first.
You were watching
into gravel. Huh? Oh yeah,
was it awesome?
Yeah, the it's the most intense I've seen Jeff. Jeff's face
nice.
Was right before he started the fall. Like he was going into like sixth gear.
Damn.
And then I was like, I don't think he could push it that hard. And then
he couldn't.
He cut up both his hands, his elbows, his back, and a huge gash in his side.
Yeah. He was in bad shape. We went out to dinner for his birthday that night at the Spaghetti Factory, and I swear to God, he was drinking, and like water was coming out the holes in his belly, like in a cartoon. I swear to God that happened.
But
Spumoni did.
You could actually see the injuries on the Geekscape show. If Jonathan decides to post that interview,
okay,
which Jeff told him to, but John said he wasn't going to. I'll talk to John about it, but. They're pretty fucking heinous.
So check out the Geekscape if you're
the injuries are freaking grody.
Yeah, it's not a good scene, especially when it happens to a friend of yours. And he was kind of out of it later that night. I felt really badly for him.
Bad.
That's right. I didn't mean to imply that the mechanism with which I feel is broken. I don't know which one of them is right, by the way.
Neither do I.
So I mix it up 50% of the time.
Everybody should understand your reference by now because they have already stuck that movie in
That's
their
right.
queue because of my suggestion.
Everyone at home is laughing with us just the same way that we're laughing with ourselves.
Stick it in your queue is not a suggestion. It's a requirement. There's a period at the end of that.
Yeah, it's not quite. It's not stick it in your
stick
queue.
Stick it in your queue.
If you feel like it, question mark.
It's stick it in your queue. Do it.
I stuck some shit in my queue while I've been watching it. Freaking Alf is hilarious. Have you seen Alf? You liked Alf back in the day.
Tell me the joke that you sent to me on my text message.
Well, Alf, they want to play Scrabble, but they can't because
wait, hold on.
All right.
I'll be Willy.
Okay.
So I'm assuming Willy. Is,
yeah.
Alf, did you eat all the vowels?
Yeah. When I get bored, I eat vowels. I'm Regis Philbin, not Alf. I can't do Alf, apparently. But he said that when he gets bored, he eats vowels.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious. He said something bites wind. He was like complaining about something. He's like, this really bites wind. That's very funny, Alf. Well put together.
I'm going to use that for my comic.
There was a reference to Nicholas Nickleby. Out of nowhere, there was like 5 minutes of Nicholas Nickleby comedy. It's a play adapted from a Dickensian novel, which I actually worked on in college. So it was kind of special. And I sent text messages to the two friends I had that worked on it with me.
About Alf?
I told them how Alf was talking mad shit on Nicholas Nickleby. So Seth
Jesus
and Efren,
Christ.
You're out there. Thank you for getting those.
Oh, they're my friends too.
Yeah,
fucking jerk.
I'm not trying to be exclusive on.
You could
them.
Say our friends.
I sent text messages to two of our friends that did that show with me.
I thought you were just a creepy guy that you just contacted two random people from your college.
People
out
that
of the
I don't
blue.
Even talk to anymore. No, it was Seth and Efren. They were both interested in what the hell, why the. Nicholas Nickleby jokes would be killing on Alf, which they were. The audience was like, yes, take that, Dickens, you fucking old British dude.
Is he British?
You dead piece of shit.
I know he's British.
He is. I assume.
All
of his books and shit are about British, so I hope he is.
Not all of them.
Some of them.
The Grapes of Wrath is about California.
You know, now that I think about it, you're right. The Grapes of Wrath is about California.
I know that's Steinberg.
Steinberg. I've been doing pretty good on my U-Haul hobby. Have I told you about this hobby?
Was it a lot easier when you went to the moving place and picked up a U-Haul van?
I've decided that I have to get them in the wild. I can't take pictures of U-Hauls at a U-Haul
at the U-Haul zoo?
Yeah. There's no fun in that. You can't be a bird watcher at the zoo.
Have you mentioned this hobby on the show?
I don't know if I have or not. Ryan says no. What I like to do.
Should have said yes.
You should have said yes, Ryan. What I like to do is take pictures of U-Hauls. There we go. We're good.
There's like a U-Haul graphic for every state.
For every state and every province of Canada.
Oh.
All 13 to 17 of them.
I don't know about Canada. They can't even.
Canadian listeners, we really love you. I just honestly haven't looked up how many provinces you have just yet. And I wouldn't
blame
you.
There's probably like seven.
What's that?
I don't know.
I wouldn't blame the Canadians if they didn't know how many states we had. Producer Ryan says 9 provinces.
Probably.
Alberta, British Columbia, Newfoundland, Nova Scotia.
Quebec.
Quebec. Is Toronto a city?
Iceland.
Halifax. And Dave. So there you go.
Foley?
Dave Foley. He's a province of his own. He's a separatist, though. So.
Normally, we wouldn't make fun of Canadians, but if they can't edit and post a show for a month, then I guess we'll have to.
So T.Tim is bringing down the thunder.
What? No, I'm bringing down. I'm bringing down the thunder.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling down the thunder.
Well, she initiated the situation that would allow for the thunder calling. So.
Okay.
Okay. Just so we're all clear. So anyhow, I've been taking pictures of U-Hauls, and that's going really well.
Awesome.
It's kind of funny because, like, I'll walk up to someone, like, I walked up to this dude fueling up his U-Haul at a gas station after I'd pulled 2 U-turns to catch up to him. And
Jesus Christ.
Got off the road, and I was like, hey, can I take a picture of your U-Haul?
Wait, you stop him and ask him?
Well, I didn't stop him. He was already filling up with gas. I just explained why I was pointing my phone at his car. And he was like, yeah. I'm like, I collect them. And he's like, you don't have Delaware yet? Like, he thought, Delaware's a slam dunk. What are you, new?
Burglar gloves.
There was actually one across the street from my house this weekend. So that was a pretty easy score.
New neighbors, huh?
New neighbors.
You go great. All we need is new neighbors.
I know. I was like, God, there goes the neighborhood. No, he was like moving his dad into his house. And it was the great state of Wyoming.
Meh. I haven't seen any podcasts from those clowns either.
Yeah, come on, Wyoming. Step it up. So anyhow, lamest hobby ever. Yay! I start a bowling league on Sunday.
Strange.
It is strange. Yeah, right. You can go breakfast bowling with us.
Well, not
me.
With Ben, because he's in a league without inviting us to be on his team.
I'm on the league that my boss was already on, and she invited me to fill in a spot like a sub.
You just hiccup mid-sentence.
And I was so nervous that I drank a quarter rum first. But I'll still breakfast bowl every other weekend. I'll still be around.
Whatever. I'm going to be on the other side where the leagues don't play. Because that's how it works at that place.
It is how it works.
Well, they better turn on the fucking speakers on your side of the stadium there, chump, because you guys are going to have to league bowl during Hall & Oates and Chuck Mangione.
That's funny. Like, when they get real serious leagues in there, they turn off the jukebox. And the broad that works there knows us, and she's like, the jukebox is off today. Which I'm sure she sees as, like a pardon from the governor.
She figured out. That we're the ones playing feels so good every week.
Every week. We found out that AC/DC is Back in Black. Every song on that album is one credit.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So we're not just going to do the Doobie Brothers a bunch of times?
We'll do whatever we have to. See,
dude, what if Fool Believes is one credit? It's one of those jukeboxes where they have, like, you put in, like, $2 and it gives you 3 credits.
Yeah.
Or, like, 5 credits and every song's 2 credit.
Yeah. It's, like, you know, specifically tailored to make you think, well, I should put more money in, really. But I'm not getting my money's worth.
My sister found out that What a Fool Believes is one credit. So.
And she played it like 3 times.
Yeah, that's strange.
Baker Street. That'd be a
Baker
good
Street
one
by
too.
The Foo Fighters. Do you still have that on your computer? Okay, I want that on the show. Because I don't know if it's on my computer anymore.
Awesome. Awesome.
Listen, Ryan's telling us how long we're going into the show.
That takes me back.
To when we're supposed to speed things up.
We better hurry or we won't be able to talk about everything that happened on nothing this week.
Yeah.
The other thing I have that's awesome from Netflix is Voyagers. You guys remember that show? Yeah. It was kick ass.
You keep telling me about it. It's like Sliders meets Greatest American Hero meets like Walker Texas Ranger.
Riot just acted out the graphic of them flying through space and time, and it was perfect. It was a perfect rendition, Ryan. That was great. Yeah. That guy shot himself with a gun that had blanks in it, and he ended up killing himself because the blank, I guess, shot him anyway. So that's a kind of tragic little story.
So on that highly hilarious note, again.
Captain Breakdown, here to help.
Jesus Christmas.
It's a great show. If anyone ever wants, I'm not going to put it in my queue. Yeah, they had an Omni, which was like their little gold pocket watch that traveled them through time, and it would light up red if something was wrong with history, and then until they fixed it, and then it would turn green. So I saw them deal with the Wright brothers and Harriet
Tubman.
What
was wrong with Harriet Tubman?
She was not free. Like she was not. She kept being bought and captured by this guy, and they had to keep trying to free her so she could start the Underground Railroad.
Sounds like a shitty Atari game from the 80s. It's like Kaboom, but you have to save Harriet Tubman.
Like, every time they turned her back, she was, like, being a slave again.
It sounds like a not good show.
No, it wasn't her fault. It's just, like, one of those situations where the bad guys are always one step behind the good guys. And then they catch up to you.
It sounds like a shitty sci-fi show that's dealing with maybe situations that they probably shouldn't be dealing with.
Like the slavery thing was a little heavy-handed for this fun show about a kid and a good-looking guy that traveled through time. I mean, a regular guy. I mean, just like a different guy. A different guy than the kid.
We know you're really just into kids, so you don't have to cover your second half of
it. Yeah, that's right. The whole episode was about slavery, too, because there was also Spartacus in it. So it was Spartacus and Harriet Tubman.
Is it like Bill and Ted's? Did they go and do a report on slavery afterwards?
Every time they go into history, they deal with someone who's famous. It's never like this guy was just good enough at his job to make history work.
It's not like Ramses from Eternal Champions. Jesus. That's
And at the end, the kid, over the credits, the kid tells you that you should take a voyage to your local library.
The kid at the end says, oh, slavery's bad. Yeah. And he learns his lesson for the week. This is horrible.
Special guest of that episode as a young Samuel Clemens, which you don't find out till the end of the episode that it's Samuel Clemens.
Oh, thanks. Spoiler.
Ruined. Fucking Joey from Airplane. Oh. Do you like Gladiator movies, Samuel Clemens?
Cool.
For a given value of cool.
Believe.
Ralph is so ready for the next chapter.
Well, I'm afraid that I'm not. We never cut our stuff. But this whole slavery talk.
What?
What, us recording on 9/11 and all.
There's no connection between the two. Slavery is bad.
Everything's bad for America.
So
I think Ryan did this to us. Ryan, you being back.
We could talk about slavery. We discussed it in a very mature fashion.
Ryan's laughing.
Harriet Tubman was okay in real life. She was just in trouble on this television
show.
Who
played her on the
television? And I can point that out. And the whole point of the
show
is
But it's so bizarre. Like, it's such a, like, I don't know.
It's hinky, huh?
Did Sliders ever, like, hit something that serious?
Finally, like, three seasons in, they finally dealt with an episode that dealt with racism. And it was, like, you'd think they could do, like, a reverse racism, well, you know, quote-unquote episode where it's, you know, racially reversed. And
they need to save
did.
The honkies?
They did one... They did one where it was like an immigration issue, but they always pretend to be Canadians so they can get away with not knowing what's going on. But in this case, there was... sorry, Canadians.
Carte blanche Sliders is that they're Canadian. Oh, we're Canadian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like it's a way of saying that they're from far enough away that maybe they don't know all the local politics and stuff or whatever. But in this episode, all the Canadians were like illegal immigrants and were being rounded up and stuff. But then they also did another one that specifically dealt with racial tensions, like this, like the civil rights movement had never happened, kind of thing. So, yes, Sliders does teach you about life. Sliders and Voyagers, people.
And scene.
So now on that highly successful discussion.
Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to do movie review? All right.
Did we watch anything?
I certainly did.
All right, sweet.
Let's get to movie review.
Movie review. But if slavery was an 80s video game, it would be like...
The TV show treated...
Right. Yes.
Slavery as an 80s. It's the show's fault.
So if anyone was marginalizing the impact of slavery, it was 1982's Voyagers starring Mino Pelucci and not us.
No wonder why that guy killed himself.
No, that's the other guy. The other guy's name I don't even want to bother.
But that's why he killed himself.
Yeah, because he had to hang out with Mino Pelucci all the time.
Yeah. So I saw a movie this week, and boy, did it suck. Is it the worst movie I've seen since Ultraviolet.
Oh, wow.
It's a movie starring Paul Giamatti and Clive Owen, and it's a film called Shoot 'Em Up.
I dodged a hail of bullets.
I'm not saying that you won't like it.
Right.
But I absolutely hated it.
Oh, jeez.
And I sat there the whole time thinking, when is this going to be over?
Ah.
It's the movie that we watched before doing the Geekscape episode, and we do a full review there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to give a shout out to John's show and say head over to geekscape.net and list and watch me review Shoot 'Em Up for reals.
Yeah.
But stuff I didn't say on there was I love bad action movies.
Yes.
You know this.
Well, you're a fan of Michael Bay.
Yeah. And a fan of movies like Crank, Transporter 2, and...
Sure.
Like, I understand that they're bad.
As long as there's...
But I laugh the whole time and have a blast watching them.
Right.
This movie was boring.
Really?
And not fun. And it tried to be too clever as opposed to trying to just have fun with itself.
Okay.
It sucked.
Wow. That would be where it could fail in my mind. Like, I could see an over-the-top fun action flick, like, based on the trailers, where it's just like, wow, this guy's unstoppable. Look at all the shooting he does.
You know how Crank has, like, crazy death scenes, or, like, Bad Boys has crazy death scenes?
Yeah,
like, a scene where you laugh because it's so over the top?
Yeah, sure.
Shoot 'Em Up doesn't have that. It has Clive Owen in a room with a bunch of guys. He shoots them all. They all hold their stomach and fall over like in a Western.
And then they're dead.
Yeah. There's no, like, heads being blown off or bodies dropping off of a building or...
Do you think that if it had been marketed more... clearly to what it actually was, that would have helped?
No, the problem is they marketed it correctly, but the director didn't know how to make that kind of movie.
Ah, okay.
Like we went and saw Crank because we saw the trailers and we knew what it was going to be like.
And it was.
And it delivered.
Yeah.
This movie knew what it wanted to be, but couldn't deliver.
So he wants it to be what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
he just couldn't pull it off.
Yes.
And it ended up somber and boring and slow and stupid.
Paul Giamatti, horrible job.
Really?
You think that his villain would be really interesting because it's Paul Giamatti, be quirky and whatnot?
Yeah.
Nope.
He's got skills.
He's like a bad guy and he's really bad.
What about the Baluch?
Horrible actress. Just a horrible job in the movie. Clive Owen, every single one of his one-liners fell flat.
Oh, gosh.
It's bad.
Wow. I'm really kind of happy I missed it.
I kind of wish, like, I was, you know, I watched it with John and BJ, and, you know, I thought afterwards, you know, if I saw it with, like, Ben and Matt and all those guys and Stevie and just everybody, like, if I would have a different experience, but I honestly don't think I would have.
Well, we watched Ultraviolet together, and that was a pile of crap. I'll admit it, but... We had fun during it because we could laugh at how stupid it was.
But the thing is with Shoot 'Em Up, like, if I tell you that Clive Owen is banging Monica Bellucci
right,
while shooting up an entire room of bad guys, it's a really cool idea. Like, you'd be like, oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds totally cool.
But it's boring.
Oh, God.
And by the time you get to that, you don't care.
That sucks.
If you say that Clive Owen decides to leave the kid on a playground merry-go-round and... Paul Giamatti's about to snipe the kid, the baby, and Clive Owen can't get to the kid to stop this from happening.
That sounds really tense.
And he can't get a clear shot on Paul Giamatti. So what he does is he shoots the handles of the merry-go-round.
To start it moving.
Forcing Paul Giamatti to lose his clean shot. Sounds cool.
That does sound cool.
It's stupid. It doesn't work in the movie. I don't know if it's the editing, the pacing, the directing, or what.
That's a damn shame.
I definitely recommend, if you really want to see this movie, you're going to see it. You're definitely probably going to put it in your queue.
I think I will, yeah. I put Smoking Aces in my queue.
Let me know what you think.
I will, yeah.
Watch Smoking Aces. And fuck it. It's bad.
Is Bellucci naked at all in it?
She is topless, but her boobs, she's being held by Paul Giamatti.
Uh-huh.
Because
like Janet Jackson style?
They end up, no, like chest to chest. Like he's banging her standing up.
Giamatti
is? Point, no.
Oh, Clive Owen?
Clive Owen.
Okay.
And then they shoot up the room and they're standing, but you can't see in her nipples.
Does she know that he's shooting while he's banging her?
Yes, but she likes it rough, I suppose.
Rough on other dudes?
It's fun.
I would be pissed. I'd be like, look, pay attention to me. Give me your all. Clive Owen. That's what I would say to Clive Owen if he wasn't fucking me with his full intensity. But that's me.
Yeah,
I'm a different kind of lover than Monica Bellucci.
I'm not saying you won't like it, but dude, you know the kind of movies are. You know I'm totally down with these stupid.
And this just didn't even
end of the summer action movies.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing. And it couldn't be the other thing either. It just doesn't know if it's coming or going.
It just sucks.
Bummer. Well, I'm glad I missed it.
Yeah.
Is War out yet? Are we gonna go see that?
It came out like 2 weeks ago.
Shit. I know I'm fucking up on movies lately. I know that I haven't been like forever.
I need to see 3:10 to Yuma. I heard it's awesome.
I'll go see that. James wants to see that. So, well, you got to hop aboard when James wants to see it. You're going to see King of Kong? Oh, producer Ryan's going to see King of Kong. He listens to the
show. If it's still playing, I'll go with you.
We missed the 10. And I know Ralph doesn't regret it.
I heard I didn't miss the 10. So anyway.
The second effort from David Wayne.
So what do you say we stop talking about movies we don't like and start talking about movies we do like?
That's much more fun.
All right. Let's stick it in your queue.
Stick it in.
Period. This is the Stick It In Your Queue segment.
It's not a suggestion.
It's a demand. It's a promise.
It's a prereq.
This is where we recommend movies that are already out on DVD that you can stick in your Netflix or Blockbuster queues.
Yeah, we don't recommend movies that are in production right now.
Or you can go rent. Don't go buy them, guys. Don't go buy them on our recommendation.
Not sight unseen, but yeah. What if there's a movie you haven't seen in a while, but you knew you liked it, and you hear us mention it, and you're like, you know, I've been thinking about buying a DVD. This is maybe a message from the gods that I should go buy that DVD.
Or rent them and then be like, holy shit, Ben and Ralph were right about this movie so much that I'm going to go purchase it.
Yeah. Or like call Netflix and tell them you lost it. You know, whatever. There's a whole variety of things you can do. But the important thing is watch the movie.
Yes.
Or if you've already seen it, write us and let us know what you thought about it.
Yes. Oh, shit. You're fucked this week.
Why is that?
Because remembered our new name. New game.
And there's no way.
You're so fucked.
Absolutely no way.
I totally forgot about the game.
Hand it to me.
Okay.
Oh, do you need it?
Okay, so I'm going first this week.
Yeah.
And the movie I picked is, I believe, now I don't have my DVD case. It's from the year 1935. It's from 1935, and it's from director Alfred Hitchcock, who you probably heard of. He's a director of many movies. And it's The 39 Steps. It's a talkie. It's in black and white. But it's, 1939 or 1935, you never know. And it's another, kind of along the lines of North by Northwest, the movie you suggested a couple weeks ago, I think. Wait, did you ever suggest that?
No, I haven't suggested
that. That was on my other show.
I did mention that it was my favorite score, Cary Grant, and Hitchcock film.
Which I think you just mentioned to me, not on the show.
Well, then now I've said it out loud. Now the world knows.
The 39 Steps essentially is a guy who is visiting or is attending a vaudeville show. When shots ring out, the room empties, and he grabs a girl and essentially finds out that she's involved with the shooting. And she is part of this greater spy story, and he gets caught up in it as it's probably the original Wrong Man scenario or movie. I don't know how far back the Wrong Man stuff went.
No, but it's totally a Wrong Man.
And it holds up to this day, which is how many years later, Ryan? 1935?
72?
No. 70. 72 years old.
No.
72-year-old movie that holds up today. It's funny. The jokes still work.
Yeah.
There's a couple of bra salesmen, I believe.
Yeah, you talk about them.
It's a great movie.
No. Michael's talking about them. This isn't Criterion, right?
This is Criterion.
It is Criterion.
Maybe I'm thinking of Strangers on a Train.
You are, yeah.
But yeah, check it out. The 39th Step starring Richard Donut. Call him Donut. D-O-N-A-T. Some girl. This doesn't even have like... Wow, this doesn't have any info on the back. You are screwed our game, dude.
Our game is not going to happen this week.
I'll give you director this week.
I've got it. No, here goes. I'm just going to...
Okay, Robert Donat, Madeline Carroll, Lucy Mannheim, Gottfried Turley, Peggy Ashcroft, John Laurie, who's not the same John Laurie from Fishing with John.
Thank God.
So that's it, dude.
Okay. I am going to cheat so hard.
Did you just change your movie right now?
No, not at all.
I changed my movie to The 39 Steps. okay. So that's it. 39 Steps. Alfred Hitchcock. You guys, if you're into watching an old black and white film, it's essentially like it's The Fugitive.
You know, I found myself, I mean, I thought that I've been a Hitchcock fan for a long time, and I've seen a lot of Hitchcock movies. But then when Ralph started getting into some of his older stuff, the British ones, so to speak, I had no clue. And it was cool because it was still his same kind of style, at least in terms of like the pacing and the thriller aspect of it. But it's totally new to me. So if you've seen, you know, Rope, Lifeboat, Psycho, all the major players, you know, it'll be fun to see this more obscure one.
And you mentioned the pacing. It's 86 minutes, so it's not like you're going to have to sit there for, you know, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you enjoyed it.
I really liked it, yeah. And we quote it from time to time. We say, am I correct, sir?
That's correct.
All right.
Which now is going to have to be your quote again.
That'll be my quote.
Even though you had that before you started doing your...
Yeah.
Have we
mentioned that?
Now go for it. Explain it.
On my emails every week, I change my signature quote to something from one of Ralph's movies from the week before. And now I'm going to have to go back to Am I Correct, Sir? Which is one that I actually just had randomly a couple of weeks back. Okay. This movie was directed by Alfred Hitchcock, and he directed a film called Rear Window, which they recently remade into Disturbia, starring Shia LaBeouf, who was in iRobot with Will Smith, who was in Bad Boys 2 with Martin Lawrence,
who was in
an excellent film that came out in the year of our Lord 1999 called Blue Streak.
Yay, yay.
Bit of cheating. But I got there. Year of Our Lord 1999, which actually was a great year for movies, if you think about it. Star Wars was in that year as well, so
Dogma,
we have to take that into the mix.
Dogma, South Park.
Uh-huh, yeah. The Lebowski.
What was the World Is Not Enough?
Yeah.
That other one was Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, that was a good one. It was a good year.
Batman Returns.
Batman.
And King of Kong was out that year.
Blue Streak. Blue Streak is a comedy. It stars Martin Lawrence.
Can you tell me what Martin Lawrence portrays in this film?
In this film, Martin Lawrence plays a jewel thief.
No, that was the wrong answer.
Oh. What?
Martin Lawrence. He's... What is he? You're failing me big time.
I suck. I'm sorry.
He's the cop that's not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for the poster. He's a cop. That's not. That's from the poster of the DVD.
It's a tagline.
So essentially, he's a jewel thief. Heist goes bad. He has to stash the jewel. He makes a note of the address. It gets sent up to prison for like
2 years.
2 years. Comes out, and the address has now become a police station.
Not only any police station, but a super high-tech police station that's really difficult to get into.
With high security. So he tries a couple of wacky pranks to get in Bugs Bunny style. Dresses up as a pizza delivery guy, that kind of thing. Finally, he makes the decision that he's going to have to pose as a cop to get into the police station.
A
cop that's not. And retrieve his jewel. Luke Wilson's in it. William Forsythe. Dave Chappelle is hilarious in it. We quote Dave Chappelle from that movie a lot. And it's just a stupid little comedy. I mean, I don't know if you're a Martin Lawrence fan. He's not, I mean, I can see where some people would be irritated by him, like maybe Big Mama's House 2.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like Black Knight very much.
Uh-huh. Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, people I could see where people would say that they maybe don't always like Martin Lawrence, but I think he's very funny in this movie in a way that a lot of people can appreciate. I mean, everyone in the group dug it, and we're not all huge Martin Lawrence fans.
I own the film.
I own the film. Ralph owns the film. And
your mother loves it. Come to the back of the boat. I'm sorry. It just sounded like you're going to do the Jimmy Fallon doing Adam Sandler on Celebrity Jeopardy. Your grandma loves it. Your mother loves it.
Light Urpel. So if you're into a fun, and you know what, one thing that I've always...
It's action-packed, too. It's an action comedy.
It's funny. And there's no romantic subplot. This girl shows up, and I'm like, uh-oh. And then, uh-oh, spaghettios.
Too bad
and
Clive then, Owen wasn't there to...
I know. Come on, Clive. Let me down. And then she goes away. And I've always thought that was a hilarious example of averting the old tacked-on romantic subplot. It's like, here's this girl that's clearly, like, attractive and in his age group, and he's like... kind of hits on her, and then she walks away. And I'm like, yay, bring on the comedy. Because it doesn't have to be in every movie. Not every movie has to have a romantic subplot.
Like The Relic.
Like The Relic. That's right. That's the one that Ralph always points out.
I put that on my queue recently. That movie sucks.
Really?
But there is no romantic subplot.
There's like two characters. There's like a female lead and a male lead.
Yeah. Tom Sizemore and Penelope Ann Miller, both in commanding performances. End up in the museum trapped together the whole time, and he saves her, and they go along their way.
They go their merry ways. That's awesome. I think every now and then, go for it, you know?
Predator,
yeah.
Predator doesn't
totally
have a romantic subplot.
No.
I don't know what it was, but it had eyes.
So, there you go. Stick Total Blue Streak in your queue. You know, don't expect fucking
those
Hitchcock.
Those are two great movies to have in your queue at the same time, like to have at your house.
Yeah.
Because they kind of balance each other out. They're not, you know, you don't want to get like two depressing movies.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to get Schindler's List and,
And Schindler's List
Meet
too.
The Deedles.
Yeah, I mean, and then you can say to yourself, oh, I'm watching a Martin Lawrence movie, but at least I got this Alfred Hitchcock movie to kind of balance it out.
Yeah.
So you maintain your cred.
Yes, definitely.
Which I just lost all of.
No way, dude. No way. But I did pick my movie after you told me what you were picking. I don't think you should tell me anymore what you're picking.
You were like...
Because if you decide to pick the same one,
yeah,
then, I mean, I could just pick a different one like right after or vice versa.
That's true. Okay.
Don't tell me because I was like, Blue Streak? Well, I should pick something that would go...
I should pick something that's way smarter
on the other
than
side
that.
Of the spectrum.
It's totally funny.
Yeah, hilarious. It's a great movie.
Tango un gato los pantalones. That's funny stuff.
I'm a federale.
Federale, yeah.
Blue Streak. Guys. Notice we're not quoting 39 Steps, so
right.
It's definitely a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
Blue Streak.
Yeah.
Ryan's ready to hit the stop button for the next chapter, so what do you say we get to that? Wait, we're not doing a debate this week.
The next chapter,
week.
I guess, would be goodbye, right?
Yeah. So,
all right, well, let's go on to that chapter then.
That would have been awesome.
Put that in there as a separate chapter. Oh, none of it happened?
No.
I don't know what got cut off means. I don't know all your producer language.
Cut off means it never happened.
Oh. Well, God, that was hilarious. All of you out there in listener land. Probably about as hilarious as this isn't.
Yeah.
What do we got on the horizon, dude? I'm going to be in that bowling league, which means I'm pretty busy. Once
I have already sought out via the internet pencilers and inkers.
Ooh.
So look forward to that.
Cool.
The Cricut is going to be 3 books with the standard 32 pages.
Nice.
And... I have the story arc set out for its entirety, as well as where each issue is going to stop. So
awesome, dude.
Look forward to the cricket. Hopefully that gets going.
I can't wait to read it and totally trash it.
Dude, by all means, I mean, it's going to be stupid. It's going to be like, here's one of the jokes. The cricket obviously does not belong in his hometown or the town where he ends up crash landing.
It's a fish out of water.
Which is San Diego. And nice. That's the first.
Nice, yeah. Put someone in San Diego for once.
God, there's going to be an awesome Comic-Con issue. We're just looking for a bad guy, and they blend in to all the costume nerds and the cricket. Nice. All these people want to take pictures with him.
That's awesome.
And he's like trying to find... Okay, so that's okay. Like, that's not even in the
Save
three
that
issues.
For sweeps.
That's not even in the three issues, which I probably shouldn't be talking about that. Cut that out, Ryan. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's totally in there, by the way. I'm going to cut the show.
But if we pretend that we cut it out, maybe everyone will pretend they didn't hear it. the audience is instructed to disregard.
Cut it out.
Ralph Coulier. Welcome back, Canada. Now we're giving you all the props you deserve.
I love doing the cut it out with the two legit hand signals.
Too legit. It out.
Cut it out.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I'm gonna keep on saying it though. But anyway, there's a couple of the whole thing is like he builds up this whole thing that he, you know, he's got everything set out. He's got the monitors set up. His buddy can see the whole city. He can track. He's into like every security camera in the city. Privately owned business. Government-owned streets, everything, and
okay.
He's like ready to go. He puts on the stupid costume, and like the first shot, he like runs out the door. He's because the guy says, "When are you going to start?" He's like, "I'm starting right now." Runs out the door, and then because their whole thing takes place in like one of those basement houses in San Francisco or in San Diego.
Nice.
It's a shot of like the sidewalk stairway that goes down.
Yeah.
To the front door, and you just see his eyes peering over the ground level, just standing there with his antenna sticking out. He's just standing there.
That sounds very funny.
So that's the kind of thing it's going to be. You're going
to
enjoy it.
I totally will. I'm looking forward to it. Congratulations, bro.
Your grandma enjoys it. Your mother enjoys it. Come to the back of the
boat.
Those are two different jokes, too. So that's what's going on. We'll see what happens. I actually got a lot of artists/inkers from like Brazil and UK. I'm gonna actually try to now find someone from Orange County,
a local.
Yeah, boy. So I can actually sit down with them instead of do everything via internet. So
cool.
That's that.
Cool.
And hopefully by the end of or by the time our next show airs, I will be able to say I have finished the story for that and it's already moving forward.
Awesome. Well done, dude. Yeah.
That's a project that I've been working on, or it's been in my head since high school. It used to be the heron, now it's the cricket, but the storyline has been there since at least since a sophomore in high school, which how old are you? Like 16? So
yeah,
14
like
years?
That.
14, 15 years?
Wow.
So pretty stoked.
Cool, dude. Get it on paper, man.
It is.
That's cool.
And it's now under the laptop in book
burning.
There it goes. So anyway, you have any downers you want to bring up?
No, I think I brought
that football
down.
Player that tackled that guy and got paralyzed.
No,
he's fine. He can walk. He's going to be able to, or he's going to be able to walk.
He's going to be okay. He's
not totally paralyzed. My Chargers are doing good so far.
That's right.
They're 1-0.
One for one.
1-0.
Oh yeah,
San Diego Superchargers. They're here to dazzle you.
Halos are doing pretty strong coming up towards the postseason. Go Halos.
Halos are probably winning as we speak, hopefully.
So take that, Baltimore.
The Boreals.
The Baltimore Boreals. All right, guys. I got nothing. I say we get out of here.
I got plenty.
I have plenty.
I have plenty to talk about.
What's that?
I have plenty to talk about right now.
Well, do it then.
Join the Dharma Army.
Oh, dude, that graphic is awesome, by the way. Did you do that or Ralph?
I did that.
Ralph, that's awesome.
Go
to the dharmalars.net site and see what I'm talking about. On the front page, there's a recruitment poster for the Dharmal Army, and it looks awesome.
Which is essentially a big advertisement for buying our t-shirts at shopsaminate.com.
That's shopsaminate.com. It's a beautiful goldenrod yellow with a Dharmalars logo, slightly distressed to show that you've been wearing it for a long time. Check it out. It's awesome.
And if you have been wearing that for a long time, send us a picture.
We've sold way more shirts than we've received pictures.
Definitely.
You guys need to fix that. I mean, if you bought the shirt.
Fix that shit.
If you bought the shirt, you can hear my voice. And if you can hear my voice, you have a computer. So send me an email with your picture and the shirt in it.
@darmalars@gmail.com.
Send us an email, dude. Send us an email, anyone. I mean, I haven't been answering them much lately, but I'm trying to get back onto that. But Ralph is Johnny on the spot with every email. So
yeah. Amy sent a bunch of pictures.
Yeah, she did. Wearing clothes in every single one. Thanks,
yep.
Amy.
Totally wearing clothes.
Ooh.
Also, if you are another girl and don't like wearing clothes, send us pictures of that. If you're Clive Owen, send pictures.
Send me pictures, Clive.
Also, what else do we do?
We have a MySpace page. MySpace page.
/Darmalars.
That's right.
And jamming on the one.
Jamming
on the one, baby, baby.
La, la, la.
You big fan of the Cuxtables?
The Hike
School?
I kept thinking about that when you were talking about the heron and the cricket in high school. How about how much I wanted to go to hike school?
Don't you say that. Don't you ever say that. Adam Sandler. This is the Adam Sandler cast.
Are you ever gonna put that one in your queue? Because it's your favorite movie.
My favorite Sandler movie is, definitely is Billy Madison. Dude, we have 6 months still, or five months.
I know, but everyone's seen Billy Madison, so maybe we don't have to.
And if you haven't, go see Billy Madison. You'll like Billy Madison. That is a Radio Spot reference to the motion picture Billy Madison.
All right, so we're doing pretty good out here.
With Adam Sandler portraying William Madison.
Well, Mr. William Madison.
That's all we have. We gave all enough shit, right?
Yeah. We gave them
you guys
enough,
contact us,
enough
right?
Shit.
ScottandSteve.blogspot.com. That's where we rip into each other.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
That's all.
All right. Well.
Oh, shit. Okay.
You have to have a movie
that's why
to go
I'm stalling.
Thinking about it?
Okay. I'll do one.
Okay, good. All right. That's it. We're going to be here next week. And we've got a couple of special episodes on the horizon. So stick around and listen for those.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Producer Ryan. It's good to have you on the couch, as usual.
This is a podcast that we have posted since we called out the other podcast last week. So,
oh.
Seriously.
Yeah. Like, that's how easy it is.
We sure like podcasting,
just
but
so you know.
We sure like some backup in case we want to take a week off or something. So
special Seattle Jimmy. Come on, Seattle Jimmy. Get
he's got a special one, all right.
Okay, good. Ryan seems to indicate that it's forked. All right, that's it. I'm out. See you guys next week. Lars de la Vista.
Am I correct, sir? Why do you hold back the laughter when I make you laugh at the end? It's great to end with the
because
laughter.
Because I want you to feel like I'm trying to steal the last word from you.
No. You're praising my last word with greatness.
Well, your last word made me laugh.
Because my last lines obviously was already stated in the show several times, and it's not very...
No, your last words make me laugh. Hey, do you want to try to recreate what we did earlier with that goodbye?
Nah.
That was funny.
Nah, it's funny. We'll do it next week.
Goodbye.
We'll recreate next week. And not give any contact info.
You all, everybody.
Look at Ryan's going to stop the show. Last week, I didn't stop the show. I let that whole thing play.
Did you play it at the end, or you just kept it talking?
No, I just kept it as it was.
That's awesome. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't heard my own fucking show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bye.
Oh, okay. Got one. Are you correct, sir? All right. Here we go. See you. Say bye, Ryan.
Goodbye.
Okay. And I'm the last cop you want to mess with in a darkened alley. Ben turned on his microphone, which is this is how we ended last week. I'm playing. And he's out. Okay. I'm done. See you guys. See you next week. Or with five other podcasts before next week. All right, stop this shit. Stop it.
Hey, Ralph and Ben, it's Mike. I just wanted to chime in reference to the King of Kong review you had last week. the movie centers around two guys, one of Billy Mitchell, and as it's mentioned in the movie, he has the record for Pac-Man, and he achieved that at Weir's Beach in Laconia, New Hampshire, at the Fun Spot. And I just happened to be an employee working at Fun Spot the weekend he broke the record. It was a couple days after they had this huge, like, old video game record-breaking competition, and he didn't want to do it then. And so it was a Saturday and Sunday, and I was working open to close both days. And they assigned me, I guess you would call it Billy Mitchell's bodyguard, just watch him play the game. And at first I was just walking around the area, make sure no one bothered him. But then halfway through the day on Saturday, some little kid unplugged a bunch of machines looking for a free game. And Mitchell tweaked out. He was just like yelling and screaming and like kicking machines. And he's like, how dare this happen? How can this happen? Blah, 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 blah. Just as crazy as he is in the movie when he compares himself to abortion. Oh, well, yeah, he is. The movie did not portray him in a bad light. He is that crazy. Well, anyway, we had to get a dolly, and we moved the Pac-Man machine into the corner, away from everything else, and he just played in the corner, and I just sat and kind of watched him. Every now and then he'd be like, hey. But he played it until we closed on Saturday, and I don't think he beat it on Saturday. He came back on Sunday and beat it. And I spent about 20 hours with this guy, just watching him play Pac-Man. And so when he finally beat it, he takes his cell phone from his belt, because, again, it was too far to reach into the pocket to get your cell phone. And he calls up this guy, and he's like, guy, we just made video game history. He hangs up the phone and starts, like, falling on the floor laughing so hard. Like, oh my god, he's gonna get that message, and he's gonna tweak out, because he doesn't know what we did. He's gonna be like, what'd you do? And just even more excited than I just did it. And I just could not believe how crazy this guy was. If you look in pictures of the event, it shows him giving a thumbs up in front of the machine with, like, the owners. I'm actually cropped out of all the photos, but at the photo at Fun Spot, I'm in it. But on all the websites and stuff, they cropped me out, which I was very sad about. But I just wanted to call in and tell you about crazy Billy Mitchell, and I hope you enjoyed the story, and I hope you have a good day. Bye.
Hey, what's up, Larsians? This is Adam from San Francisco. Just calling in about a couple things. Where to start? I don't know. I was listening this week to the You All Everybody section, and there was a guy from California that referred to another caller. So it's me, a caller, referring to that caller, referring to another caller. And he was saying, there was like some girl a couple weeks ago that was saying, oh yeah, that guy who talked for like 9 hours. It could be that guy, but you know, it also could be from Dre from LA. I'm not bagging on Dre from LA or anything, but she could be talking about him. He does talk a while. It's possible. I mean, he's got all sorts of stuff to talk about. I mean, it's cool. I'm cool with Dre. No doubt there. But she could be referring to him, maybe not the other caller, who knows. But what I was going to say is I was going to call about, Fifth Element. There you go. Fifth Element. So you guys were reviewing Fifth Element, and my two cents on that movie is I love that movie, and I also really don't like it at the same time. There's so many things about it that are really, really cool, but there's also some things about it that really kind of disappoint me as well. And it's just like, man, I wish they had got those things right, and then I would have just loved this movie from start to finish. So just a couple points. So, for instance, the whole beginning I think is awesome. I love all the interactions between Corbin Dallas and Lilou, and I think both of the actors do really well with that. I love the costume design. I love the sort of not very serious take on the future in some ways. You know, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, and things are blown out of proportion, and people are kind of comical. All the stuff in Corbin Dallas's apartment is great. All the chasing and all that stuff is great. Chris Tucker's character is really cool too, and everything. But then there's just these other things that sort of take me out of enjoying it. So, for instance, some of the cheesy factors in some ways go a little too far for me. So, for instance, like the president. I can't remember that dude's name, but I remember he was in Friday, wasn't he, with Chris Tucker as well? But he's too cheesy. It's just like almost like a parody of any movie that has a president in it. And I think he just goes too far. He kind of like, I definitely notice how bad he's acting in those scenes with the president, you know. I think the ending could have been a lot better. I don't know what they're called, but like the really old creatures or whatever that they like sort of shuffle around. They look to me like metal Donald Ducks in an Iron Maiden. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me, and it kind of takes me out again of the cool aspects of the film. It's always cool to see Tricky, which is nice, you know. Just as I think it was kind of cool to see Goldie in one of the James Bond films, you know, to see sort of like lesser-known musical people and their little movie forays. But I don't have a really good point about why I don't like it, but there's just certain things that just don't do it for me. But the things that do it for me make it a cool movie. So I guess on the whole, it's like a thumbs up, but on the little tiny points, it's a thumbs down kind of. Also, I guess I'll end my call with this, wondering whether you guys put Titus in your queue, which I recommended a couple weeks ago. You know, if you ever put it in your queue or if you saw it, just might, you know, comment on it on one of your shows and see if you liked it or not. I mean, it's not for everybody, but just kind of curious what your take on it. Because I'm down with Brit, so I would hope you would be down with that, so who knows. Anyway, I'll make my call short this time. Thanks a lot, you guys. Keep up the good work. Always cracking up to hear your stories, especially about giants at parties and the Baconator Ultimatum. All great. Excellent. Keep it up. Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Hey, Lars, dudes. This is Desiree from Pensacola. So I'll let you know, I was one of those people who hated Brick and called to tell you about it. But this week, Ben redeemed himself because The Fifth Element is one of my all-time favorite movies. It's awesome. And Rouse Toys, The Simple Plan, not one of my favorite movies, but I recommend. The guy who wrote the book wrote another book recently called The Ruins. Read that book. It's one of the best books I've ever read, and it's scary. Okay. Listen to you guys later. Bye.
Poochie, 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 poochie.
Why is that hard? Hey, Ralph and Ben, it's Amy and Murad, but I'm Amy in Seattle, and I'm with Jordan from the 206, and we're like downtown, and the Seahawks just won. And, hey, don't grab me, boo.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, what are you doing there?
Hey.
Anyway, hold on.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? So anyway, yeah, Miss Amy had a few drinks.
Jordan's a redneck.
Jordan's
a redneck.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. She's had a few drinks under my supervision, whatever. So, notice to anyone, if you ever hang out with Amy Little Rock, back up the Jaeger bombs with her because the girl becomes a wild woman. And it's still right out.
Yeah,
she's drunk, harassing me, grabbing my ass and grabbing my car.
You're a liar.
That was a good end of the call.
You're a liar.
They don't know what's going on. It's a
Did you hang up?
It's a cliffhanger.
I think you're still on. Because it says return to call. It says touch to return to call.
Is it? Oh, my
God. Yeah, huh? You're still on there.
Hey, so anyway. Amy grabbed my crotch.
I did not. He's a liar.
He grabbed my crotch.
He got my boob or whatever. You're such a pervert.
Hey, wait. Hey, hold on. What's up, man? What's your name?
Nick.
Hey, this is Nick in Seattle. How's it going, bro?
Hey, man, you know what? I'm kidding with my foot, and he got a little cutie pie here with him.
Exactly. What do you think of my girlfriend here?
I think she's a cutie pie.
She's pretty cute, huh?
What else you got going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? I got it going on.
Hey, take it easy, man. Have a good time. Have a good some Jordan.
And we're in, what's the name of the store? Seattle Porno Shop. Because we're walking down the street like, hey, let's go in there. And and we're looking at dongs and stuff. And Jordan was checking out the anal beads. And there's this one film called Bang My Mom. And it's featuring Mrs. Lovely. Where's the one that says Amy on it? Oh, Come See in the Middle, starring Mrs. Bridget. So, yeah, we're... just, I don't know. Milk and Cookies number 6. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God. Old and young. There's this, like, friggin' 80-year-old dude doing, like, a 20-year-old chick. It says Grandpa still going strong on the cover. Older men are
like, if anybody missed on the blog spot, it's not quite as drunk as the lemon party deal, but, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm
looking at the lube.
Anyway, Amy's checking out the booty balls.
Booty bumpers.
Booty bumpers and the anal.
Dude, that's gonna be played on their show. We shouldn't even be talking about this stuff.
Probably shouldn't. The inspiral. This is probably gonna break the limit of what they can actually play.
No, this is like pushing the explicit tag to the limit.
Inspiral swirl top anal plug.
What about the little stud?
I don't want to explain that. That's no. I mean, little stuff that's new.
It's a butt plug.
Like a cock. But anyway, yeah, so Lost is a cool show. Hey, check out that show.
He's the guy that was like,
check out that. There you go.
Mixed nuts.
Yeah, that's a lot of gay porn. Let's keep on going. But anyway, so cool. Yeah, Lost is cool. I think the people on the boat are going to throw the whole show.
Try to talk a lot.
I think the people on the boat are going to throw the show for a whole loop.
Oh, look at a cute little
and flash forward. That's going to be pretty crazy, huh? Right? Anyway, so Amy and Little Rock is, she just found the mini fucked rabbit. Quiet, discreet, and
it's waterproof, and it's including 3 batteries.
Amazingly powerful. Anyway, so Lost is cool. I just talk about the Sick and Rich. I just watched The Lookout, starring the dude from Third Rock from the Sun. Pretty badass movie. If anyone out there is thinking about sticking something in the queue, literally or figuratively, that's a good movie. So, bye from here. Go Seahawks and. Here's Amy to say goodbye.
I love you guys.
That wasn't much of anything. But anyway, so you know what's up. Rock on, keep it up. That's what she said. All right, so peace out.
Say bye.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out of L.A. I'm going to try this one more time. Okay, so my call has to do with, I got an idea for a future show. What the hell are the Lars going to watch this fall? Since Lost isn't coming back until next year, we got to do something until then. Shit. So, I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying, since the new TV guide, hold on. Okay, I'm not talking to y'all. My bad. I'm sorry. Shouldn't be driving and talking at the same time. But, what the hell to watch this fall? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of good shows coming on. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing to do in between this this hiatus here. You know what I'm saying? So there's a couple of good shows, and what you guys do is actually the TV Guys this week, I believe it has the fall preview. So, you know, we can all go out and get that TV guide, and, you know, so we can read along with what you, your thoughts and what you're reading and shit. You know what I'm saying? I hope that came out right. So there you go. You know what I'm saying? Once again, Trey, L.A., Lars, that's you guys, Ben. Show idea, fall preview, what the hell to do when Lost ain't around. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, it's already some good, you know, sci-fi type of shows coming out, you know, that y'all geeks are seeing. I was all into that Buffy crap and, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff. So there's Journeyman and all kind of crap. It's something that's like Quantum Leap. But, I mean, given, I mean, the American Gladiators, of course, I was thinking, when does that come out? You know what I'm saying? They also have a special announcement with the day that comes out. All right, you guys, that's about it. I can ramble forever. But that's it. Fall preview. Lars now. Next show. Thanks.
All right. Ralph, Ben, this is MB. And I am only calling because of Ralph's comment on the blog saying you obviously didn't get enough messages this week, so here I am showing you up as you requested. It is, oh God, it's 4:37 in the morning here in Portland, and I have been up all night working on a project, at home at least I'm not at the office. And I really want to go to bed now, but I had to do this before I lost consciousness. So there's my commitment to you, you studs. Good night. Good luck. Talk to you later.
Fantastic. Adam Sandler.
How you doing there, Alex? You know, it's great to be here, you know. Time for the Jeopardy. I love it. Your father loves it. Your Aunt Netta watches it every night in the VCR.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sandler. Adam Sandler.
Yeah, this one time I was out with some friends on a boat, and this guy on the boat was like, "Come to the back of the boat!"